Well, good morning. Before we really get started here, I've got a challenge for you, okay? Don't look at Brad. No matter what he's doing over there at the piano, just for the next 5 minutes, focus in right here and don't look at him, okay? Okay, so good morning. I'm Claire Meyer, and I serve as the Director of Faith Formation here at Bethany. And if you're worshiping with us for the first time, way to go, making it through the snow, right? We're so glad that you're here. We're so glad that you came. If you're seated at the end of a pew, can you pass down those worship pew folders for us? In them are Connect and prayer cards. So if you'd like to know more about our ministry or mission here at Bethany, you can fill those out. And there's prayer cards. You can write down your prayer requests so that we can be praying for you. You can drop those cards in our offering baskets or at the connection centers. So if you didn't guess already, we're in the middle of a series called The Waste of Worries. And like Dana, I have never been such an expert at something on a sermon topic before. I'm a grade A overachiever of a worrier. In the 90s, there was this study that said that if you learn or work or study at something for 10,000 hours, you can be an expert at anything, right? And by those measures, I'm like an expert, right? You know, and I know many of you kind of feel that same way. Just as an example of my next level worrying abilities, I'm pretty worried that some of you is going to try and Google that study about worry and the 10,000 hours to become an expert, because if you Google it, and here's where my worry comes in, you're going to find out that that study's been completely debunked. It's not true, right? And therefore, you're going to know that I included some sort of falsehood in my sermon, and that's pretty much going to wreck all my credibility, and you're going to hate me forever, and you see it goes downhill pretty quickly. That's my level of worry about pretty much everything. There's so much to worry about in the world. Jobs, family, kids. Maybe some of you are like some of those folks in my Thursday small group who are in what I like to call the sandwich period of life. That means your kids are grown up, but they still need your support and your guidance. And because of the way us millennials are, you're never quite sure if we're going to have to move back in with you. So you've got us on that one side, and then on the other side you have your parents whose health is beginning to fade, and they're not willing to accept that. And so you're taking on more and more responsibility with their care, taking them to doctor's visits, trying to figure out if they need to downsize, and you're just sandwiched right between these two generations that could need you at any moment. Now, we could go on and on and on about the things that we worry about. But before we go any further, let's check in on our little project. Have you looked over at Brad yet? I hope not, right? Just keep focusing right here, no matter what silliness is happening over there, okay? No matter how uncomfortable Brad is starting to get, just don't look. Don't worry about whatever he's doing, okay? So we all have stress and worry in our lives. And psychologists will tell us that stress and worry and anxiety, that these are all secondary emotions, that they're covering up some deeper primary emotion, that worry comes out when we're not dealing with those primary emotions, because those primary emotions, they're big. Like, they're big and they're hard, and they get into that deep place inside of us that we don't want anyone to see, not even God. And we try really hard to avoid, deny, repress these feelings because they're so, so hard. And what are those primary emotions that drive all this worry and fear? It's fear, it's anger, and it's grief. Fear, anger, and grief. You see, when we let these emotions drive our bus, often unconsciously, we let them be the dictators of our lives. Maybe for you it's anger over a past trauma in your life. Maybe it's anger over what could have been and what you feel should have been. Maybe it's grief, that loss that you just still carry with you. For me, it's fear. Fear of not being good enough. Fear that I will never live up to that huge shadow that my four older siblings have cast. Fear that I'm not good enough because I'm getting divorced. Fear that I'm not good enough as a single mom to three amazing people who deserve the best in the world. And you know what? I just can't be the best all the time. And all these worries can start off as small and nagging. But if we're not careful, they can grow to be all-consuming. They can be so much that it's like we're tied to them. It's like we're bound to them. Take a look at this picture, would you? These are two oxen, and in Jesus' day, this would have been a familiar way to connect two working animals to get that maximum pulling power. And that wooden bar that connects them is called a yoke. And something interesting I learned in my research about yokes is that new oxen need to be trained or broken in. And you see, wise farmers, they don't pair a new ox to another young ox or an ox that's been poorly trained. Because while young ox can be strong and energetic, they don't know how to wear the yoke. They don't know how to pull the plow. They jerk and they strain to get out of the yoke. And they charge forward and rush to the end of the job, chafing their necks and choking themselves. Doesn't that sound like what it's like when we let our worry, our anxiety drive our lives? It's like we're yoked to a poorly trained young ox, and they're jerking us back and forth. And when we don't properly deal with anger, grief, and fear, it's like we're attached to them around our necks. And we're straining and we're choking ourselves so that we can get away from them, because we don't want to deal with them. And sometimes we just don't even know how to deal with them. That's why we deny those hard feelings, because we just need to make it through the day. That's why we can explode over seemingly minor things. When we're yoked, unknowingly or not, to those primary emotions, it triggers our survival mode. And you know what? There's times in our lives where we need this survival mode. We need those skills to make it through the day. But if you've been living in this time for a month, 6 months, a year, 5 years, it's not sustainable. And it's not really living. But here's the good news. Jesus offers another way. Here's what Jesus says in our scripture today. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come to me, Jesus says. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Rest. If you've been living in survival mode, rest sounds amazing. Rest sounds like heaven. And this is the first thing Jesus offers. Not a list of things to do, not condemnation for however you got to that point, not judgment, but rest for the weary. Now, some of you listening here today need to listen to like the next 30 seconds of this sermon, and then you can tune out to all the rest. Because all you need to know today is that rest is an option. That there's a different way of life that's possible for you. If you've been in survival mode for more than a year, or you've just experienced a major trauma in your life, just stop here. Don't do anything else I talk about in this sermon. Just aim at receiving this grace, this love, this acceptance that says rest is okay. Now, many of you aren't living in survival mode every day, and this next verse is for you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. See, you get rest too, but there's a call to action. Take my yoke, Jesus says. Learn from me. You see, if you pair a young ox with a mature ox, one who's been well-trained, than the young ox learns. The lead ox, Jesus, shows us, the younger ox, how to wear that yoke loosely and lightly. And then Jesus pulls the brunt of the weight of the plow and leads us to pull the plow slow and steady, step by step, straight ahead, without getting bruised or worn out. When we're yoked to Jesus, our worries and those primary emotions stop being the dictators of our lives and start being indicators. They start indicating to us when, where, and how we need to let Jesus take the lead, where we need to ask for forgiveness, when we need to beg for healing, and how we need to pray for help. Okay, I hope you didn't think about our little Brad experiment over here, because, you know, I've been in the preaching zone for a couple of minutes, but I didn't forget. How many of you looked? How many of you noticed that he got up and left? How many of you noticed that he picked his nose before he got up and left? Or whatever it is that he did over there. Right? It's really hard to do the thing we're told not to do. So if the bottom line of this message was, don't worry, take Jesus' yoke, that'd be okay. But I don't think any of you would be really able to do it. It would be like not looking at Brad. Maybe you could do it for 5 minutes or 10, but eventually you'd want to know, did he pick his nose? Right? We can't white knuckle our way to ending worry. We can't just leave here and think, okay, no more worrying, I got this. Right? We can't do it on our own. We need God. We need to take Jesus' yoke, and we can't forget that on the other side of that yoke is the creator, the sustainer, the redeemer of the universe. So we need to be daily reminded that God is there. And how do we do that? We do that through prayer. We need to pray like it all depends on God, because it does. Remember that mature ox carries the brunt of the weight. You know, Pastor John shared with me this week something pretty amazing. We've been looking for another pastor for, what, over a year now? And we've had zero candidates. And then 2 weeks ago, Pastor John realized he hadn't been praying about a new pastor to come. And Pastor John, you are one of the most faithful men I've ever known. And he's beyond an amazing leader. And yet he hadn't been praying about it. You see, we all forget the importance of prayer. We have to turn ourselves towards God and trust like it all depends on God. So 2 weeks ago, Pastor John started asking God specifically for a new associate pastor. And you know what? We've got three candidates now. Over a year of nothing. And John starts praying, and God gives us options. These options might not work out, but the point of telling you this is that if your pastor can have that shared publicly, it's okay if you've forgotten to start praying too, because you can start today. And you know, we want to partner with you as a church. So if you're not sure how to pray, well, I'm having a prayer milestone class in a couple weeks. Come and you can learn. It can be as simple as picking up that prayer card in your pew and writing, I need Jesus' yoke on it, and our prayer teams will start praying for you. Coming up in March, Pastor Judith is going to be leading some amazing prayer experiences on Wednesday nights in the chapel. Come. Pastor John is working on a 40-day prayer challenge for us. Do it. Pray like it all depends on God. God also calls us to take action too. Take my yoke and learn from me. That's what Jesus said. And to do this, we have to have habits that help us walk like Jesus walks, that help us follow Jesus' lead, that help us take that yoke and learn from him. Now, here's the great news about Jesus and Jesus' yoke. is that it's personalized for you. It's the size and shape that's made specifically for you. So we know that it'll fit your life no matter how busy, how worried, how anxious, how fearful, how whatever you are, it will fit. You know, I wish I could lay out a detailed X number step plan that would work 100% of the time for 100% of the people, but we are all too unique, and the world is way too messy and complicated for that kind of approach. So instead of that, what I can say is start somewhere. Commit to doing one thing that will help you follow Jesus' lead. We're all in different places. We all have different experiences, and that's okay. Wherever you are on your faith journey is where you are. But regardless of where you are, Jesus is calling you to take his yoke and learn from him. So if you come to church once a month, maybe your next step is to come twice or three times a month. You know, all of April and March, we're going to be exploring how to walk in Jesus' footsteps. So come back. If you're worshiping regularly, then maybe your next step is to join a small group where you can get individual support and prayer and be more intentional about learning and growing in your faith. Because in a small group, people know you and can help keep you accountable. Maybe neither of those options seems to be how your yoke could fit. So maybe your next step is to figure out a way that you can serve in the world. Maybe it's here at Bethany in one of our ministries or with our mission partners. Maybe it's out there in the community. I don't know what your next step should be. But I do know that Jesus is calling you to take the next step with him. Pray like it all depends on God. Work like it all depends on you. It's both and. It's both depending on God and taking those personal actions. Because worry does not need to be the dictator of your life. Fear, anger, and grief do not need to have you by the throat. Jesus is calling you to come. Come and find this other way. This other way where there's peace, healing, and restoration. Let's pray. Jesus, you call us to come and find rest in you. And so, God, we are going to offer this next song as our prayer that your yoke can be easy and light, that your table can be a feast for us where hunger for peace is satisfied, where suffering is healed, and where joy fills our heart. Amen.